All right, before we get the second guesser's picnic started, because that's what it's going to be. I know we're sure going to tee it up as that. I've got to extend our condolences to the friends, family, and I'm going to include the fans of Willie Mays, the great Willie Mays, who passed away earlier this evening at the age of 93. And for a lot of us, you know, I know we like doing this Mount Rushmore thing where we say we're going to put this guy in Mount Rushmore. But for those of us of a certain age, Willie Mays is on the Mount Rushmore of great baseball players. And it's a big loss for the game. And yeah, Willie Mays, Kevin passing away peacefully earlier tonight at the age of 93. And yeah, it's he's one of the real transcendent figures in baseball. He was still very much a presence in the game, I would say, probably until the last 5 years or so. I remember covering our friend Marquise Grissom in an All-Star game, and I remember talking to Marquise Grissom before the game, and Willie Mays was down on the field, and Willie kind of ambles up to Marquise and says, "You're one of the guys I like watching play." And Marquise just, you know, kind of mumbled thank you and everything like that. And he went, I looked at Marquise, I said, "Well, that's a compliment, I would think." And he goes, "Man, and he was just speechless." And that's the impact, that's the effect Willie Mays had on people.
Yeah, I never got to meet Willie, but I actually saw him walking across the field one time, and I just didn't have the nerve to walk over, Jeff. I wanted to so bad to walk over, yeah. And I just had no idea how to start the conversation. I could have just walked over there and said, "You're the greatest thing to ever walk on a baseball field," but, you know, it was – he's going to be missed, and, you know, obviously he was great for baseball, and he's a lot of people's hero, for sure.
Oh, yes.
No doubt.
Yeah, he certainly is, and we'll have much, much more tomorrow on Blair and Barker and the career and the life of Willie Mays. Again, Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid, passing away tonight at the age of 93. All right, let's shift focus to what transpired at the Rogers Center tonight. A great crowd on hand for a Tuesday night, Kevin. 4-3, the Blue Jays losing to the Toronto, to the Boston Red Sox. I mean, the way things are going this year, why not? Blue Jays losing to the Blue Jays. The numbers to call are 416-870-0590. Star 591 888-666-0590-590-590. The text line has basically been filled up, Kevin. Show Ali, our producer, saying the text line has basically been filled up with people second guessing John Gibbons. I can't say I'm surprised by that.
You mean John Schneider.
Or John Schneider. Well, you can second guess John Gibbons. You can tell that I was you know, there are losses that are frustrating. And, I mean, there's so many things to talk about with this loss, but, you know, the matchup of Brendan Little against Tyler O'Neill, I mean, I get it. You know, you've struck out Rafael Devers, but, and you know, Brendan Little, what he'd gone, 5 consecutive scoreless appearances, but he's still Brendan Little. And I don't know, Kevin. To me, he's not facing Tyler O'Neill. For me.
Yeah, Tyler O'Neill.
Not a chance in hell he's facing Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah, Tyler O'Neill this year against lefties hitting .340 with a .717 slug. Like, I would think if you're anybody in that lineup after you get Devers out, you're thinking about how you either maneuver around O'Neill or you throw a righty against him, mm-hmm. and if you get beat, you get beat. Who would ever text in and say John did the wrong thing if he brings in his closer in the 8th inning against Tyler O'Neill and 3 lefties to follow? I don't know anybody.
Nope.
I mean, if you do, you don't know baseball. That again gets back to that John Gibbons thing. When I asked, why'd you do that? And he said, "Mark, sometimes I do it so I don't have to answer the question." That's one of those things, right, where – after you got Devers out, thank you, Lucky Stars. And now mm-hmm. you got to figure out who you're going to face and how you get that next guy out to win a baseball game. And for me, I don't understand. I mean, just the at-bat he had before when he missed the ball right down the middle and he popped out the first base. I mean, he's all over that thing. Like, again, you could just tell that how comfortable he was at the plate and how it would take a perfect pitch. And it was almost like Little was aiming that sinker. You know, and when you aim, what do? Normally, you throw it down the middle. You throw it down the middle to a dude that eats lefties for breakfast. You don't get the baseball back. So, yeah, and then the play at second base, the pickoff.
That was my next Horowitz. Play, sixth inning. Bassett, Devers is on second after a one-out double. They've got him picked off. And you know, that's why we've talked about this. This is the Blue Jays aren't very good at keeping runners at first base, but they do spend a lot of time working on pickoff play at second. And I mean, look, we know why Spencer Horowitz is in the lineup. He's in the lineup because his team can't hit. He has not had a great deal of time at second base, but to me, that's a play that has to be made now. And it results in one run being scored. I get that one run out of four, but a big one
against the Blue Jays.
One run against the Blue Jays, exactly, will beat you.
Yeah, yeah. They were also 2 for 12 runners in scoring position. And I have to say this: I haven't brought up Vladdy's name in a long time. That at bat he had in the first inning, and the at bat he had in the fifth inning. You know, every once in a while against a really good pitcher, your best hitter has to do something. And that fifth in that first inning with a runner at second base, he swings at an 0-0 sinker in. It's not even close. Mm-hmm. That's a ball I'd swing at and basically gets himself out. That's an atrocious at bat. It comes up in the fifth inning, sort of the same exact thing. Runner on second base, he swings at a sinker, 0-0 down and in. I mean, those at bats, you just got to ask yourself. Obviously, he was looking for the ball in because he didn't want to swing at the ball, the slider away from Houck. That sort of sums up the year for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Right.
It's just almost when you watch at bats like that,
it's a lot of empty
away.
Calories.
Why?
That's what it is. It's a lot of empty calories.
It just doesn't make any sense. Now, again, I understand Tanner's got things moving to both sides of the plate, and you could tell Vladdy was zoned in and looking in. But if you look in, you can't swing at a ball in.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be on the plate, because if you swing at the ball and chase that ball a little in, it's going to look like it was. So, you know. When your best players are not being your best players, you lose.
Yeah, and then in the eighth inning, Chad Green's in the game, and both Hamilton and Rafaela steal on first pitch. The Red Sox.
Cora told everybody they were going to do that.
Well, absolutely. The Red Sox are going to do that to you, and that's stolen base. Huge, because eventually the go-ahead run comes in. Kevin Barker, though, right. Blue Jays 2 for 12 with runners in scoring position. We do have to talk a little bit. We're going to go to the lines right away because we got a lot of people waiting. Do have to at least touch on Chris Bassett's performance tonight, Kevin.
Yeah, look, I agree with Madison. Like, the sinker and the curveball are on point. I mean, when he's in the zone with those two pitches 60% of the time and he gets 15 combined called strikes with those two pitches, then you can start to see a little bit of the cutter. You could tell the lane with the cutter wasn't real good. He was trying to make sure that he was missing. That's why you were hearing the grunting. If I'm going to throw this thing, I'm going to throw it with some authority where I miss when I miss. And then he could sprinkle in the split finger. I mean, it's basically the first four guys in the rotation are always giving them a chance to win a game.
Russ in New Jersey, you're on Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. What's up, Russ?
Yeah, I should be watching a little more of the Oilers game right now, but I took a break to call you guys. You know, the bottom line.
Don't worry,
is,
the Oilers are going to lose anyhow, so don't worry.
Be nice.
Well, I'm Canadian. I got to cheer for the Canadian team. But here's the thing, you know, I think the third wild card is a little bit of a curse for some teams because everyone thinks they're in it. You had two teams last year that I think basically got in at the end of the season in Texas and Arizona, and people look at it and say, "Well, if you get in, anything can happen." It's true. But the bottom line with this team is they're not a good baseball team. They're a very flawed team. You have a guy in charge of the team in Atkins, and I know this has been said over and over again, who's been here for, you know, since 16, but 16 was Alex's team. So 17 to 24 hasn't won a playoff game, never mind a series. Okay? He's going to do whatever it takes to convince ownership of that this team can get in the playoffs for as long as this can go on. Because at the end of the year, there's a lot of people going to be calling for his head of 8 years of not winning a playoff game. So, you know, I sit there and say, at what point does ownership, you know, and I don't think it's going to happen. So I'm going to go to Shapiro and say, no, this guy can't be the decision maker of who are going to move and when, because at the end of the day, you know, his job is on the line here, and if they don't make the playoffs, he should get fired. I don't know in this town, in this city, what happens. He can probably lose for 50 years and not get fired.
Yeah, but I don't know. You'd have to ask the Leafs about that. I don't buy that. I don't buy that argument at all.
You're right, but one thing I could tell you, living here in New York since '94, if this was the Yankees, there would be front headlines on the New York Post and the Daily News.
Russ, this is the Mets. This is the Mets. They're not demanding the manager be fired. I'm having fun with you. But look, I know what you're saying. Hey, people are calling for the manager to be fired. People are calling for the general manager to be fired. We've been doing it for a year and a half, or at least suggesting somebody has to wear what happened in the postseason. But I don't know. I think it's probably Mark Shapiro's call. And you're absolutely right, Russ. You know, listen, I understand that the wild card gives everybody hope, but you know what? At this point, given the money this ownership group is spending, given the players, the core players they've had in here in Vladdy and Bo, I don't think we should be aiming for a frickin' wild card spot right now. I'm sorry. The Jays should be above praying and hoping and trying to scrape their way in to an 84-win wild card spot. That $235 million got to get me more than that.
Let me ask you a question. I want to ask you one question because you brought up something very interesting, and I'll just ask your opinion. When a guy says, everyone must go, the owner and the general manager, I think that's a little bit of a contradiction.
Well, the owner's never going to go.
If you don't have the ingredients, no, I said the general manager and the manager. Okay. If you don't have the ingredients in the kitchen, you can't cook. So either has Atkins provided Schneider with what he needs to win and Schneider hasn't delivered? Or has Atkins not provided? So you can't say both should go because one guy, I'm not saying they both won't go, but you can't. I don't think Atkins has provided anybody who would manage this team with enough talent to win. So I don't think it's fair to Schneider. I don't think Schneider is the greatest manager in the world. You know, I don't think, you know, he's the greatest. But the bottom line is he's a good enough manager that if he had a little more talent offensively, he would be able to win a bunch more games. That he just doesn't have it, which falls back on Atkins.
Yeah, Russ, I appreciate the call. Listen, I mean, Kevin, I've said the same thing. Is John Schneider the best manager I've covered? Nope. Is he the worst manager I've covered? Hardly. So I'm with Russ on that completely. Look at the lineup today. Horwitz was a Buffalo. Schneider, kind of a bubble guy. Guerrero, Varsho, Turner, Barger was at Buffalo. Kirk, IKF. IKF's playing every day. Clement is playing every day. I don't know what the hell else he can do. Now, I will say this. Let's go to Carlos in Richmond Hill because he's going to touch on something I was going to touch on. Kevin, Carlos, go ahead, please. You're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. I agree with the previous caller that the third wild card is probably more of a curse than it is a blessing. But a couple questions. Alejandro Kirk and Kevin Kiermaier, we're not going anywhere. I don't think those two guys are bringing anything to the roster right now. So I know we made the Biggio move and the Vogelbach move. I'd like your opinion on how much longer with those two guys. If you're going to talk about front office being responsible for talent evaluation, Kirk had the good rookie season. Defensively, offensively, no speed on the base paths. Like, he is bringing nothing to the roster right now. I think you monetize assets at the deadline, move Garcia, move Kikuchi. We're not going anywhere this year, but I wanted to ask you one hypothetical question. So George Springer, we know the contract. Hypothetically, this continues for another 6 weeks, 8 weeks. The Astros paid Jose Abreu $31 million to go away. Like, do you see a scenario where you just have to buy Springer out?
Pay him $60 million to go away? Because that's what's left.
Well, 48 after this year, right? I'm talking.
No, 60 after this year. It's 66 right now, roughly.
Oh, boy. So what is the out there? If he might be done, like, is that a great
career? The only out you got is him retiring. I mean, I can't put it any other way. That's basically the only out you have.
Nobody's going to leave that kind of money on the table.
Well, that's, you know, welcome to the world of 7-year contracts or whatever it is. I mean, that's, you know, as we've said, and thanks for the call, Carlos. I mean, we talked about this, Kevin. As soon as that contract was given out, you knew the last year of the contract was going to stink. I mean, you just did. Guaranteed it was going to stink. I don't think you thought the last 2.5 years of the contract would stink. And to me, it's very simple what you do with George Springer. He's a bench guy for me. And until ownership calls me up and says, hey, this money's a drag on what we want to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, George Springer's my right defensive right fielder hitting ninth, or maybe in some days he's my fourth right fielder. Maybe, but, you know, I mean, he pinch hit today for Addison Barger, and I get it. You're playing righty. You're playing the percentages there. But there was nobody, I guarantee, in the ballpark who thought that George Springer had any chance in hell of doing anything in that at bat.
Yeah, I just don't think you could put all of them in the lineup at the same time, right? It would be hard to put Turner and Springer and Kirk and Kiermaier all in the lineup at the same time. And it just seems to me like John is trying not to. I mean, however he's going to do that, he'll do it. I'm with you. I'm playing him 3 or 4 days a week, and if he earns more playing time, he earns it. If he don't, he'll play 2 or 3 times a week. I mean, that's basically bottom. I don't think there's a blueprint or a handshake anymore that says George Springer's got to play all the time.
Yep. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. We'll take a break, come back, get a few more calls. It's Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Yeah, that's how we had it planned out. You know, it's a tough ask for Brendan. You know, he strikes out Devers in a huge spot, and then to go back out. And, you know, you trust his sinker to, you know, against righties too. And it's a good swing by O'Neill. And then, you know, he did his job, really. But, yeah, that's kind of how we had it planned, you know, with Nate kind of down there at the bottom there and then handing it off to Brendan. Either at Duran if we needed it to, wherever we kind of landed it, or at Devers. With Chad after, so that's kind of how it lined up.
Well, there you go. You know what they say about the best laid plans. Sometimes they stink. It did not work out tonight. The Blue Jays losing 4-3.
That's not what they say.
Yeah, that's what I say. Blue Jays losing 4-3 to the Boston Red Sox. They will attempt to avert the sweep. Why are you looking at me like that, Barker? This is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. By the way. Well, I can make it up. But apparently that's the way it was planned. Whatever. Brendan Little against, you know, I mean, at some point the pixie dust disappears and a guy is what he is. I don't know.
I just like my closer against their best hitter at that time.
Although maybe that tells you, Kevin, despite what they're saying, maybe that tells you about their faith in Chad Green as a closer.
You think they'd lie to us, Jeff?
I mean, I would. Tyler and Delhi, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Yes, I'm just calling
Delhi,
in.
Delhi, I'm sorry, not Delhi. Delhi.
Yeah. Just calling in to wonder why they're bringing in George Springer for a pitch hit in the eighth inning.
I'll turn that over to Mr. Barker. Interesting. Kevin, because during the telecast, it was pointed out that Addison Barger actually has hit a homer, a 3-run homer this year at AAA off that pitcher. Obviously, it's lefty and lefty. You want to go righty and lefty. My only question was maybe if I'm going to put a righty in there, maybe I'm going with Danny Jansen first as my preferred choice. But
Danny's hitting 154 in June before that at bat in the ninth inning.
Yeah, that's fine. He's still a any better.
Any, mighty, mo.
Well, yeah.
Any, mighty, mo. Like, that's sort of where John's at now.
You would take George Springer over him?
I ain't taking up for John, but it's like you're throwing him against the wall here.
You would take George Springer over him? Yes or no? Yes or no?
I would let Aurelvis Martinez hit.
Oh my God! Let's go to well, yeah. What the hell? Why not? He's up here.
He's a big leaguer, ain't he?
Well, let's go to Guy and Maple. Guy.
Yeah, Blair. No more predictions about the Oilers. As soon as he said that, they scored and scored.
He did it on purpose.
Well, no. The guy from Winnipeg. I'm tired of this whole Canadian team thing. No, I don't want a Canadian team to win. If it's not the Winnipeg Jets, I don't want a Canadian team to win. Maybe the Leafs. I wouldn't get upset if Montreal won, but I don't want Edmonton, Calgary, or Vancouver to win. Are you crazy?
But listen, we could basically play the same tune every game. There's always a half dozen issues all season, and it all comes back down to Atkins. I mean, first of all, I disagree with you on one thing. I think Schneider's the worst manager we've ever had.
No.
I know you're going to say Montoya.
No. You remember Carlos Tosca? You remember Carlos Tosca by any chance?
I remember Tosca. I remember Fregosi. I remember the guy who said he was in the Navy or the
Vietnam. Tim Johnson, yeah. But, I mean, yeah. No, I would. And Charlie, God love him, was a nice man, but no. Yeah, Schneider's not the worst manager we've had.
Listen, I've never heard any post-game discussions. Every other game, we're discussing, why did Schneider do this? Why did he pinch it for this guy? Why did he? I've never heard that before. It happens every other day. So
that's because
I don't know.
You've had other people doing the post-game show.
Well, there you go.
Well, I'm telling you the truth. You've had other people doing the post-game show before. Maybe they look at it differently.
But it also, again, it all comes back to Atkins, too. I mean, even the problem is he's not doing anything about anything. I mean, you know, they complain about the hitting coach, and instead of getting rid of him, they got four more or three more or five more. I don't even know how many more there are.
Yeah. Well, they didn't complain about it. We did. As far as I know, Ross didn't complain about the hitting coach. He liked them so much, he multiplied them.
Exactly. And then this thing with Springer and Kirk, I know I've been on it for the last few weeks. I mean, Kirk, if he's in the lineup, put him in the 9 hole. And Springer, he should be on the bench. And when he plays, he should be in the 8 hole. And I don't understand. I don't understand why he continues to throw these guys in situations where in the heart of the lineup or in key situations, and he's relying on them. I don't remember all season Springer getting a clutch hit the whole season. There's guys doing it every game. This guy's finished. Put him on the bench. Let him, you know, maybe as a fourth outfielder when you need some defense, that's it.
The only thing I'm going to say, Guy, is this. You can't have him, Kiermaier, and Kirk on the bench all the time. And that's the issue with the way this team is constructed. Quite frankly, right now, John Schneider's got like three or four guys he does not want to see. But
this goes back to Atkins. This goes back to Atkins, Blair.
Well, yeah, of course. Have you been listening to our show? Have we been critical of Atkins? I mean, I think we've been pretty critical of the general manager.
You have been, fair enough. But, I mean, look at what we got here. We got a bad product. Our minor league system is shot. We got two top 100 prospects. There's nothing coming up the pipeline. And we got nothing to trade. We got no good assets. You know, outside of maybe Kikuchi, we might be able to get something, and that's it. I mean, it's really disappointing to see, you know, this franchise is turning like the Leafs of the 80s. Oh, hang up.
Yeah, Guy, no, listen, I get your frustration. The one thing you cannot have happen to this team is, and I've made this comment a couple of times, you know, I remember the Leafs, the Dion Phaneuf Leafs, were basically people didn't want to see them anymore. Mike Komisarek, they showed him on the board at a Jays game. Everybody booed. It's like, just go away. Go away. We don't want to see you. You don't want to get in that position. You don't want to have a team that people don't like or people are tired of. I agree with you completely. And, you know, Kevin, I mean, look, we've talked about this. Is this an exciting team to watch?
No, I don't think so. Again, yeah. I get back to those two Vladdy at bats, the one in the first inning and the one in the fifth inning. That would have helped.
Well, there you go. The Blue Jays, 4-3 losers to the Boston Red Sox at the Rogers Center. They will wrap up the three-game series tomorrow, attempting to avert the sweep. The Red Sox have chalked up series wins, I should say now, against the Philadelphia Phillies, the New York Yankees, and the Blue Jays. Consecutive series. They will go for the sweep tomorrow, 7:07 first pitch. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Cambridge and Stratford. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.